take a moment to or several moments to just celebrate the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, because I think it's now a modern classic. It's almost a chestnut. We had Arsenic and Old Lace when we went to high school.
Right. I had Aristophanes the Birds.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 246, 30th Anniversary Continued. Welcome to part two of the audio highlights from our 30th anniversary webcast, which we held 2 weeks ago on August 8th, 2011, the 30th anniversary of the very first performance by the Reduced Shakespeare Company. We held this webcast at the Stone Tree Golf Course in Novato, California, literally yards away from where the RSC's first performance of Hamlet was held. And Reed Martin and I were joined by RSC founder Daniel Singer and founding members Jess and Sa Winfield. We talked for 2 hours. And part one of the highlights was last week's podcast episode, number 245. It was a longer episode than usual, and this week's episode is, beware, even longer, about 40 minutes. As we pick up our conversation this week, we were talking about the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged and its position in the pantheon of dramatic literature.
Is there another play that has not played Broadway, that has been produced as much as the complete
all over
works?
The world.
All over the world as the complete works. And I said, no, there isn't. And then somebody said, Greater Tuna. Okay, or except for Greater
Tuna. But I'm not sure Greater Tuna has played all over the world, that sort of Texas thing. I mean, it's hugely popular. It's a great show.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
I think Reed's got a really good point here, is that because Shakespeare is so universal,
right,
we have seen our show translated into many languages, and we know has been performed in many countries in the native languages, and that is the mark of a really strong universal show. Mm-hmm. To me, that's one of the great honors of being behind it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I would just be incredibly proud of what you guys did.
I get up and Google myself every morning.
and then you go on the computer. Yeah, right.
To see where it is next.
When I think about you, I Google myself.
What's actually really fun about it is getting emails and notes from people who have done the show in some far-flung country saying, oh my God, I did your show and it was so much fun, and my kids came and said, you know, just having that much of an influence, making that many people laugh as the ongoing members of the Reduced Shakespeare Company know, is just a really great, really great pleasure.
Well, and I'm so intrigued by the notion that today is 8/8/2011, the 30th anniversary of their very first performance by the Reduced Shakespeare Company. It also is the very first rehearsal tonight of the Reduced Shakespeare, what will be the Reduced Shakespeare Company's 8th stage production.
Well, that is an auspicious date you've chosen.
Yeah. And can I just say, aside from being so proud of complete works of Shakespeare Abridged, how great that the Reduced Shakespeare Company, 30 years and onward, is being carried by you guys. So thank you and congratulations to you.
Yes, thank you for starting it.
Thank you
for leaving.
Thank you for starting it. Thank you for leaving. Yeah.
How did that... So you go to Edinburgh in 87, yes, and I want to hear the story. Didn't you have an opening act that was a little odd?
Oh, yes.
All right. Hello, Kim Tripsman.
Yes. And Jane, and to the fine ladies of the Sisterhood of Latter-day Bozos, we love you all. We met them at the Oregon Country Fair. We were going to Edinburgh. They wanted to go. We kind of wanted an opening act. They wanted to. We thought, wow, our show is being opened by the Sisterhood of Latter-day Bozos. How awesome is that? So we go and we open our show in Edinburgh, and we discover that the Sisterhood of Latter-day Bozos is a contact dance troupe, if that grouping of words kind of means anything to you, who took their act kind of seriously. And so whereas we expected something a little more comical, it was kind of heavy-handed. And so we found that as we sat perched in the theater's tiny lobby waiting to go on, with patrons leaving the show, because they were disappointed in the opening act and confused because they came to see the complete works of Shakespeare Bridge, and we had to explain to them, oh, no, no, go and sit down. Our show starts in just a couple of minutes. This is just the opening act. But we found that so many people that we were losing our audience that since the girls, the bozos, were actually doing three short numbers, that we would go in between their numbers and talk to the audience, let them know that they were indeed in the right theater and that the complete works of Shakespeare Abridged would be starting momentarily. And by the way, how many of you have ever seen a play by William Shakespeare? We kind of engage them in chat.
Okay.
So
that was fully improvised, like, crap, people are leaving. Hey, where are you from? You ever seen any Shakespeare?
Yeah, so little did we know, we were kind of writing the pre-show as an effort to just keep our audience. Well, unfortunately, you know, this was kind of a difficult situation for the bozos, because they were, you know, it felt a little awkward for them that they didn't turn out to be the ideal opening act for our show. But once we got things smoothed out, that was, I think they reduced their number of performances from three to two, just to kind of keep it short. And we ended up with all this great introductory material where we kind of got to burst through the fourth wall and meet the audience and chat with them about Shakespeare. That was really fun.
So you sort of started to tour the U.S. in, what, 88?
Yes.
And 89?
Yes.
Now, in 89, I'm just finishing my second year with Ringling Brothers.
Yes.
And Jess calls me. I think he tracks me down on a payphone in Portland, Oregon.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
At the arena, the Rose Garden. You decide to leave. You've been at this now for 7 or 8 years.
Yes.
And it's starting to go on a roll.
Yes.
But you had a good job at Disney.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that came at a time when our company was suffering a sort of a personal meltdown. So as much as it would have been great for the original company to continue to move forward, developing our show and writing the material and stuff, personally, it had kind of hit a big impasse. Uh-huh. And I was feeling very, very stressed out about that. So I had an opportunity to start a job at Disney, designing Disneyland rides. That was my life's dream. You know, theater was great, but I had an opportunity that I wanted to take advantage of, so I decided to be the first one to leave the company and move on.
Wow. And how long were you? You were an Imagineer?
I ended up being an Imagineer for 12 years.
You were like George Washington. Deciding that you were going to, I was only going to do this for
8 years.
Terms. 8 years?
2 terms.
And I'm done. Yeah.
I'm going to start this country, and then I got other things to do.
You set the template and read. Hang on. No, we didn't follow the template. None of the rest of us have quit after 8 years.
Well, yeah. To be fair, I mean, there were four of us traveling the world together. It was Saw and Daniel and Adam and I. And when we first started out, Saw and Adam were together. And then we were traveling together. And then Saw and I were together. And that's the stress that Daniel is referring to.
How could that possibly cause? I don't see how. What?
Well, you know, they called us the Seduced Shakespeare Company for a couple of years there.
I've been married to 2/3 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah.
Because the original Daniel always turned me down.
I don't know. Well, it's not too late, Saw. It's not too late.
So, you know, that was a very difficult time, and the company sort of came close to splintering altogether. Saw and I were both out for a brief time, and then we worked through it, and there was a lot of closeness in the company, and we were 24 hours a day together, and love happened, and Saw and I are still together all these 25 years later, and so in some form is the Reduced Shakespeare Company. The funny part is that after all that happened, we worked through stuff, and we went back out on the road again, all of us. Daniel got his job offer, but after Daniel left, and Reed, you joined the company, I don't know what it was like coming in after that, but, we spent another couple years on the road touring together.
Reed, when you joined, were you guys still playing with the complete works a little bit? You were still sort of...
I remember some fiddling. I mean, it existed. Yeah. I remember fiddling with stuff in rehearsal, but the script as it exists, as you say, from the early videos is largely the same.
Yeah. Right. Well, and the main boon when Reed joined the company, you know, we're losing our founder and original member, Daniel, but we knew we had a clown coming into the troupe, and that middle section of the show where Daniel stalls, which Daniel did, with a little bit of sheepishness and, oh my gosh, and grab a couple of props and maybe do Hamlet. All of a sudden, we can throw Reed up there, and he's playing the accordion and eating fire and playing William.
Very Elizabethan.
Yeah,
very Elizabethan.
Playing William Tell Overture on his throat, and yeah. You know that section of the show expanded from 2 or 3 minutes to. I remember some nights, Adam and I sitting in the restaurant.
God damn, man.
Keep going.
You're still out there getting laughs.
But I remember, when you called, I was ready to leave the circus. I had heard of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I hadn't seen...
Joining a whole other circus.
Yeah, a whole different circus. I'd heard of you guys and heard sort of what you were doing. It wasn't a full-time job, but I was ready to leave the circus. So, yeah, I came to L.A. That was in the end of 89.
Yeah.
And I don't think we knew it at the time. I think sometime in 1990 we said, I seem to recall all of us sitting in the room saying, can we afford to pay ourselves, I don't even remember the amount, $500 a month? $1,000?
Oh, yeah.
I doubt it was $1,000. But is there enough work where we could commit that every month we're going to... And in retrospect, I think when we went to the Centaur Theater in Montreal in June of 1990, 10 years after the fact, I think after that, it was from then on, it was a full-time job.
As our webcast continued, and as the signal dropped out and we killed time waiting for it to come back, we kept talking and took questions from our viewers in the Ustream chat room.
Our super fan, Rabid Psycho, who's not rabid, although
psycho.
Actually she's a little psychotic, but in a really nice way.
Not rabid at all.
She says, inspired by the skull on the table, do any of you keep old props around the house? Yes, there's one.
Saw
one. The prop and costume goddess.
Oh, golly.
Saw keeps Jess around the house.
I do. I keep Jess around the house.
Do you have old props and costumes, Daniel, from the day?
Old tabards that you just wear around the house?
Yes. They make really good barbecue aprons. I can't think of anything. The only thing I can think of is I had some beautiful historic replica wax seals, the kind of things that you know, kings would kind of stamp on the bottom of a document, and because a friend of mine made these replicas and sold them at the fair, and there was one for Denmark, and I think I grabbed, you know, like 4 or 5 or 6 of them and scribbled in the wax on the back that this was sort of to commemorate the 100th performance, I think, of Hamlet, maybe in 82, and I gave them to everybody, and I'm assuming most of them are gone.
I have it.
Good. And it's on the wall in my den, and so I go past it all the time, and I think, wow, that's really old.
I also have the original from the first few times we did the Complete Works book that we took around on tour with us is in my library. So that is the original. The original Complete Works of William Shakespeare, I believe it's called the First Folio or something like that.
I have an old dead Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So for those of you who've seen the show, you know, Godzilla comes out. Now, Godzilla, whoever manufactured that Godzilla has magnificent timing. Who thought up?
It was just a fluke because it was perfect, but then when we tried substituting other things, nothing worked as well.
No. Yeah. The other thing, we get a lot of questions. I think even just the last couple of months, somebody emailed said, we're doing a production. Where do you find a bouncy skull?
Here's the thing. When you go into gift stores where they sell skulls, you know, like you're at Disneyland, Adventureland gift store, I always go and squeeze them. I just
don't squeeze the skulls.
Please don't. And, you know, there's rarely anything that would work in this sort of context. Because really what you want to do is bounce it off the floor. And they usually aren't made for that purpose. I don't know why.
And this one was custom.
We would have these custom made for us.
So a quick story about the skull, though. You know, we were performing in under these oak trees that are here behind us at the Caravansary stage, and I always used to do a Last Poor York, and I would throw it up into the air over my shoulder and just let it bounce away. And I sort of got into one season seeing how much higher and how much higher and how much higher I could throw it, because it always got a bigger laugh the higher you threw it. And we're performing under the trees, and one time it just did not come down. It got stuck up in the tree, and we're both like, oh crap, there goes. So he's stuck in the tree, and we went on with the rest of the show. And I don't know if you remember this, but literally in the funeral scene, when they brought in Ophelia and laid her down, sweets to the sweet, farewell, York came bouncing out of the tree and landed in Daniel's hand.
Yeah.
And he set it aside. We're like, oh man, and that's where we came up with the bit of me tossing it over my shoulder and Laertes grabbing it out of the air right. and putting it down, which we then worked into the backwards encore.
Right.
You had mentioned earlier, you know, you had thought maybe it would be fun to write more material. Did you want to write new shows, other shows for the complete for the Reduced Shakespeare Company, or did you want to write more Shakespeare stuff? What did you think you wanted to do?
That's well, a great question.
Yeah, and I don't have a very long answer other than that okay. Jess and Adam and I were a wonderful team, a creative team, because we were very much a debate society. And I'd never been a part of that. I'd been hanging out with creative people who were all like, yeah, that's a good idea, let's do that. And with us, it was much more negative. It was like, here's a great idea. And the other two would say, eh, I'm not sure. So you really had to think about your ideas and present them in a really strong way mm-hmm. because, you know, with especially with three people, you've got this two against one thing right. where if your material was strong enough and two people voted it in, you were pretty much guaranteed that the new material might be strong enough to really work.
So this was a good thing, you're saying?
I thought it was great creatively yeah. because we were three very bright, funny guys. We were all kind of subversive in our own way, and I thought we brought a lot to the table.
But back to the question, yes. did you ever think of the three of us doing another show?
Yes, I did. And I thought that the development and getting complete works of Shakespeare abridged really going, and that being the focal point of our company, was going to keep us going for a long time.
Right.
I was hoping for future creative projects. And I was excited about it because I loved the idea that we were the slight antagonism in our creative process was actually really good for our company.
Yes, it's the grit that makes the pearl, right?
Yeah.
What did you know? What shows you wanted to do? What topics?
No, we never got there.
Oh, okay,
I think we only. I remember discussing it first when we were in Montreal. Actually,
I remember
I think
that.
By the time Complete Works was actually up and running to the point where we could even think about doing another show, Daniel was already right. getting ready to leave.
Yeah, it seemed like when I came in, there was, at least in somebody's mind, that there was probably, we would need to start working on another show. And maybe that was one of the reasons you called me, because I'd written shows.
Possibly.
At college, generic play. Well, I'd done Serious Shakespeare and I'd done Clowny. But it was within at least, I guess less than 6 months when I was in, I remember those discussions in Montreal. There was talk of the Greek myths.
Yeah, Greek tragedies.
And I think we settled on, finally, a history of America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I actually, I got far enough. I have one piece that I wrote for Complete History of America that was sort of a complete thing that I remember pitching to you and Adam, and they're like, yeah, that was it. But by then, that was then we're up to the time when I left. And that
right.
was basically because the show was a hit in London.
So in 1992-93, you ran for a year at the Arts Theater.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here it was a full-time job, and it's a big hit in London, and you guys say, I think I need to go.
I'm from Southern California. Well, I don't want to live in London. Sorry, London.
But it was going to close eventually, that didn't seem evident
to you. It was open-ended. It went from, we're going to close in a month to, we could go on all night, all day, all year, all forever.
Right.
The four of us were contracted for a full year.
Yeah,
that's true.
Saw and I, by that time, were together, and she had had enough. She was like, after 3 months, after 7 years, or 5 years, or whatever
right.
it had been by that time. She wanted to go home, to Southern California rather than live in our little rented basement flat in Hampstead.
Carlingford Road.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because Austin took it over.
To be or not to be Carlingford Road.
It was not to be for you guys, and it was to be for you.
To be for me. I thought this before, too. I mean, the transfer of power, the changeover sort of happened at an ideal time. Because I don't think I would have survived the early years of the Ren Faire, because I don't that wasn't my scene. But when I joined, I had just left a theater job at American Stage Festival in New Hampshire. And when I was talking to Reed, I was going, "This could be a real theater company. This could do other shows, hire other actors."
Yeah,
I was very.
Well, I think
excited
it was Austin's
that
idea that there didn't just have to be one set of three people.
Well,
and I took some convincing about that. I said, "Is it?" is it a comedy team?
Yeah.
Is it a rotten group?
Or is it a theater company?
Yeah. Well, ultimately, we decided we would take it in the direction of a theater company.
We always thought of ourselves as the Beatles. You know,
it's like you can't replace one.
And it was a big deal when Adam and I decided Danny was going to leave to bring Ringo in.
Yeah.
But then by the time I was going to leave, it seemed like, oh, okay.
You know what? Well, it's not the Beatles anymore. No, but I think that's one of the great strengths of the creation of the Reduced Shakespeare Company is that, oh yeah, it's a real, if you treat it like a real deal, it could be a real deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we figured out that Reduced is more important than Shakespeare.
Well, indeed.
Yeah.
And so it was being away from home you didn't like.
Oh yeah. So.
And for me, when she was gone, I thought, oh, I'm going to keep with it. But that, after a month or two, I'm like, you know, the touring life really isn't for me. I've been doing it for a long time, and I was miserably unhappy. I mean, Reed, you probably remember, I was always the crankiest person in the van, wherever we were. I mean, hell, I went home, and then I went to work at Disney for 7 years, and even the commute to Burbank every day got me cranky. Now I'm happy. I'm at home. I'm writing novels. I never have to leave the freaking house.
I think it's weird that so many Reduced Shakespeare Company original members and current members have worked for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You work for Disney. Adam wrote the last minute book reports for Disney. D and I wrote a thing for Disney.
I was in Disney like a month ago.
You were
with the boys.
You've been to Disneyland.
I made a crown for an orangutan for the live action Jungle Book.
See?
It's endless.
What is that?
It goes on and on.
Well, for one thing, Disney's a huge employer,
right.
So it's just kind of inevitable.
So what you're saying is it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
I'm Rick Walker.
I'm Joe Jane.
I'm Blaine Swin.
And I'm Ross Bryant.
And we're the Improvised Shakespeare Company.
You can see us every Friday night at the IO Theater in Chicago at 8 o'clock.
This is the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
And as we lead into the third hour of this week's podcast, we started talking about what the RSC and Jess, Sa, and Daniel have been up to since the early 90s.
Now that we're past sort of our time in the company, I want to ask you guys a couple of things about your continued work. So I left the troupe in just as complete America was, with History of America, was getting rolling. And I think we had already told our booking agent that it was going to be ready.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons we closed in London in early, I think it was February of 93. I think we ran for like 11 months because there were bookings here. And so we were...
And that was when the long debate was happening as to whether they should recast us.
So we had auditions to see if the show would continue, and we didn't see people we liked, I think. It wasn't beyond the realm of possibility, but we didn't see anybody that we liked.
Yeah,
right.
So,
oh, can I just interrupt to say thank you for taking a week off to get married?
That's right!
I got to come to London
that's
and
right.
do the show
That's right, yeah. Jane and I got married in June of 92.
Yeah.
And the producer... We talked to the producer, and I said, well, I just don't want to fly over on the day. I need to be there a little early.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so...
I don't remember how it came to me, but whoever was responsible, thank you for inviting me to London to do the show for a week. I got
to see you guys do it. Because I think I got
great.
To see you the first night you went on, and then I went to Ireland.
Yeah.
Right.
That was great.
And the only weird thing about that week was during one of my performances, Adam got his heel caught in his skirt during his flip, and which didn't cause any immediate damage, but I think a few days later, his spine like completely melted down,
and he never did
and
that
those
flip
were
anymore.
Those flips were never done again.
Was he doing those from the beginning? The flips, I don't know. He doesn't do it in the video, so those of you who know the show that way. But he used to do three or four over the course of the show. By the time I joined, I think he was only doing one
in the show. Every place he vomits in the show now,
he used to do a flip.
So
which is a jump in the air and land on his back. So it's in the circus we call it a 108.
Forward flip. Which is harder to do than a back flip, but it's the one he learned how to do. So yeah, he would do one when Juliet died and when Cleopatra died, and then he would do them at the end of the show and in the encores.
Yeah,
I hope he did them backwards.
He couldn't do a bad flip. Well, that was the great irony.
He started on the ground and then flipped to his feet.
I was just going to say that was also those were a crazy few weeks because Daniel came and did the show while you were getting married. Adam threw his back out, and then you and I, Reed and I, did the two man version of the show. Remember for
that's
for
right
a full
because
week
he threw his
London.
Back out doing the show with you, and I came back from the wedding, and we had to do the two man version of the. You know, I had forgotten that.
So when I joined the company in July, you were married
June 13th, 1992.
I flew over on June 20th, the week later, to start learning your part, and my first performance was July 1, 1992. Right. So at that point, you guys had already been talking about doing the complete History of America abridged, and that was one of the reasons you thought of me, because I was a history major at Berkeley, and you thought that might help.
Well, I knew you'd written plays at Berkeley. I knew you directed plays. Mm-hmm. I saw you act at Berkeley, and that you'd been a history and drama double major, so that seemed like a good combination.
Right. And I had continued to write plays in New Hampshire, but I guess I didn't realize that the America shows had already started being booked.
Yeah. So, there were bookings at Pepperdine for that fall, I remember.
Well, and the first show we ended up doing was at North Carolina State University, the Stewart Theater. The first one ended up getting blizzarded out by a weird coincidence.
Oh. Yeah.
But, yeah, so you came, and then we started really writing in earnest on it. This was in the summer, because we knew in February we had our first booking. So we were performing the show every night in London and then rehearsing in the daytime.
And I know there was a conscious decision on all of our parts, me, Reed, and Adams, to let's write a show where we just all we have to do is stand and say funny things.
Because doing the show every night for a year.
Oh, no. The eight shows a week of the Complete Works show
exhausting.
Was just insanity.
Yeah.
It was just insanity.
Then their reactions, too. So we stood around and talked a lot of the America show. And it's in some ways, it's a very smart show and satirical, but not very physical.
Right.
Then the Bible show, which was the one after that. Well, Matt Croak had Adam was now staying in London because he had a family. So Matt Croak was the third actor in the Bible show, though Adam co-wrote. And so Croak and I had been circus clowns, so we put all kinds of circus clowns and magic and pratfalls in it.
And I love that show too because I get to stand and point to them
doing the clown stuff.
Look at that!
Well, and then Bible, we had two or three songs in it, like real songs. We had a keyboard. So somebody said, you should sing more. So then we wrote the Millennium Musical.
Right.
Nobody ever asked for us to sing more.
Yeah.
This was actually one of the many reasons why I left when I did was because you and Adam could both sing. And everything you were talking about for the America show, because you had your circus experience and Adam was really into new vaudeville at the time. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, this is going down a whole road that I'm actually just not competent in, you know?
Right.
I'm like, I couldn't sing. Karaoke hadn't happened yet. I can now carry a tune. Yay! Is the irony.
I can now karaoke a tune.
but
you're also an infamous musical hater.
I'm also an infamous musical hater, and I kind of sensed, ooh, this is going. You know,
see, this is how I knew I couldn't do it. Play it the way Jess plays it because I love the musical. Big time.
I have to say, I really love the Bible show.
It's a really good show.
You know, it was very, very funny.
There's an interesting
it's
thing.
The one
people
thing...
have really shied away from it. It's a really good show. We premiered it in 1995, and people book it, and it was a big hit. It's my dad's favorite show. He's a born-again Christian. I'm not saying it's preaching to people, but you clearly aren't.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
No,
but people are now afraid of booking that show.
People are afraid of booking
show,
the show, and yet it's the show that we get requested most at the table from fans and people who've seen the show. When are you going to do the Bible again?
Really?
Because it's a fun show. It's a fun celebration.
See, you can't do a big hit about some kind of religious thing in... Oh, wait a minute. Say.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
You know, before the Book of Mormon, there was the Bible.
Yeah. So since the Bible, there's been Millennium Musical.
Then we did all the great books abridged, Western literature.
Right.
We did completely Hollywood abridged, the 187 greatest movies of all time. We just got back from the Kennedy Center doing the Complete World of Sports abridged, which has been getting Valentine's of reviews.
Now, for people, there are some people out here, obviously we've got some old-time Renaissance Fair people who are tuning in only because we're near where they used to take naked showers together and stuff. But for those of you who don't know, Reed and Austin, you know, have been doing amazing work for the last 10 years, and they're up to... This is the...
Christmas show will be our eighth stage
now,
show.
You know me, I love the sports.
So, Jess, what are you working on? You wrote for Disney. You wrote TV shows. You won several Emmy Awards. This is a good thing to say to people.
Yeah, it's two, as long as you count several. Mm-hmm. As, you know.
Several means two.
I finished my second novel, which just got a glowing rejection this morning. I'm very excited about it.
Yay! Congratulations.
That's kind.
But it's currently looking for a home. It's actually written to be an enhanced e-novel. It's about a 50-something food blogger who walks from Los Angeles to San Francisco in a quest to find the perfect burrito. And it's a Don Quixote thing. His Sancho Panza is a 20-something Chicana girl. I wrote the book in the voice of a Chicana girl. My rejection today said, Ms. Winfield is obviously a very talented writer. So I think I got the female voice.
And Jess obviously stands short for Jessica.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Of
course. Okay, very good. Yeah.
And Saw, you have a business.
I have a budding ceramic business, but I wanted to talk about a recent costume job, because I hadn't been doing a lot of costumes for a while, but last summer I got approached by one of my heartthrob rock and roll people, Todd Rundgren.
You've been talking about Todd Rundgren forever, as long as I've known you.
And his wife, through a series of strange circumstances, called me up and said, hey, we need somebody to sew some stuff. Can you make some clothes for the band? And I'm like, can I? So my website of my beautiful ceramics, deepwaterdesigns.com.
That's deep-water-designs.com.
But now available on Etsy, Deepwater Ceramics. And I went back to the Renaissance Fair recently and had a booth full time.
Wow.
We actually have a question from H.E. Sherman. Howard, you're back. Welcome back. Have you ever tried to reduce material and been unable?
Ooh.
It's funny. I think you might have missed the earlier part because we might have been blacked out during that time. But you were talking about you guys had reduced Midsummer Night's Dream earlier and found that it wasn't very funny.
Yeah, that's where it was fine. It was as funny as a production of Midsummer Night's Dream can be. But tragedies are funnier than the comedies. Yeah. That's just the nature of the beast. If you're doing satire, you know, it's hard to satire a satire.
Well, I'd like to point out that the Reduced Shakespeare Company are not the only people who reduce things.
No.
We kind of started something. So every once in a while, you'll go to a show and, it's War and Peace in 15 minutes. And so it's kind of fun to take great, big, unwieldy things and shrink them down. Some people are good at it. Some people aren't. We would always get suggestions. You probably get this too when you
still,
why don't you guys do this or that? You really have to consider your source material or whatever it is you're reducing very carefully to see if there's real comic potential there.
What we always say is it's something, A, we are very interested in.
Right.
Because we're going to be spending years doing it. Is it something the audience is going to be interested in?
Yeah.
Is it something that people who would book us would be interested in?
Yeah.
And as we were saying earlier, we tour all over the world. Is it likely to be something that would be able to tour to other countries?
Right.
And also, I think it needs to be generally a serious topic. As you guys found with Midsummer in the Shakespeare's comedies, some people say television. Mm-hmm. And I just think, it just doesn't seem like a serious enough topic. You're sort of making fun of something that's making light of something that's already not taken.
I wasn't sure that Hollywood was going to be serious enough, much less television.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I remember when we were writing the America show, we tried to reduce slavery in a way that made it funny, but it just couldn't.
Yeah, more likely there's parts of the show that we're working on. We say, we don't have anything funny to say about this, so we skip that part.
Did we find much funny to say about the Holocaust? I don't think we did.
Yeah. So I think in answer to your question, no, we're too smart to make mistakes.
Right. Although I will say, Daniel pointed out that people have started reducing things. We also didn't invent reducing things. And in fact, should give a shout out to Tom Stoppard once again.
Well, he didn't invent it. He didn't invent it either. William Gilbert of Gilbert and Sullivan fame. I know you're a big fan of Gilbert and Sullivan.
Not so much.
He also wrote some short Shakespeare parodies.
I did not know
some reduced Shakespeare parodies. And I don't think he was the first. I think it was somebody else. Somebody just tweeted something about this.
It was DeVere.
It was Andrew DeVere. Yeah. Not even wrote the plays, and he shortened them.
Even if you go back to Shakespeare himself, I mean, Pyramus and Thisbe in the middle of Midsummer Night's Dream is itself a cut down of a much longer piece.
Yes.
That was serious that he hacked down and put in the hands of hack actors for comic effect. and it's one of the oldest shticks in the book.
That reminds me of a question that came hours ago, literally hours ago. Are there other Shakespearean adaptations or reductions that you guys like, that you find good, funny, noble, true?
Reductions or adaptations? Well, I love Shakespeare adaptations that are great. I'm a huge... one of the first things I did when I quit the Reduced Shakespeare Company was I had some ins at Disney and I pitched a feature-length film. The incredible, almost true-life story of young William Shakespeare and a muse named Bob. And it was an animated thing about Shakespeare going to Hollywood. He's got two spec scripts in his bag, Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet, and he's trying to break into the theater business. And they were going to make it. It was fast-tracked, and all of a sudden they said, yeah, we're not moving forward with that. I'm like, well, why not? I thought we were making it. They're like, yeah, sorry. They couldn't even tell me why. 2 years later, a little movie called Shakespeare in Love came out.
Yes.
From Miramax, and they found out that they had that in the pipeline already.
Right.
And Shakespeare, and, you know, I call that Stoppard's Revenge, because it was a Tom Stoppard script that I went in wanting to hate,
right,
because he had killed my project, but I just thought it was so beautifully done, and so brilliant, and so funny. So, Shakespeare in Love.
That's a favorite. What made me remember Parari's question was you mentioned Pyramus and Thisbe, and I just I'm reminded of Sam Rockwell's performance in the Kevin Kline Midsummer Night's Dream. Midsummer.
Sam Rockwell
is so good. Yeah. He's so great in that.
We just recently found that Beatles doing Pyramus.
A Bard Day's Night.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, this is great. Oh, have you guys not seen this before?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's been kicking around forever. It's the Beatles did some Shakespeare on UK
BBC
television.
It was a BBC broadcast in color of the Beatles doing Pyramus and Thisbe in full costume with a live audience.
Yeah.
It was for Shakespeare's 400th birthday or something. And
YouTube?
It's YouTube. Right. It's on YouTube.
Gotta check it out.
Yeah. Paul is Bottom, and Ringo is the Lion.
I can't wait.
George with it's hilarious.
Oh,
it's
very
funny.
Funny.
Okay, and John Lennon in a dress.
Yeah, I can't wait. But now that we're talking about other reductions or things that we like, I'd like to mention that when I was a customer coming here to the Renaissance Fair in the 70s. As a young teenager, I saw a half an hour Hamlet. So there was one. Now, I was 14 or 15, so I don't really remember. I mean, I remember there was a Hamlet character. I remember some of the vague basics. It wasn't anywhere near as literal as our show ended up being. I think it was just kind of a series of sketches. My memory of it is just completely hazy, but it was there, and people remembered it. And when we were in rehearsal for our very first show, Louisa Puig, who was playing the queen at the time. Hi, Louisa.
Hi, Louisa.
Hi, Louisa.
You're always my favorite queen.
Oh, my favorite queen ever.
Present company accepted.
Not to speak disparagingly of all the other actors who played the queen. But anyway, she said, oh, it's so great that you're doing Hamlet. And, we don't have enough Shakespeare at the fair. And are you doing that bit with Polonius? What bit with Polonius? She said, oh, it's so funny. In Polonius' first scene, he comes out on stage, just marches out, thump, 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 and he looks at the audience and he says, neither a borrower nor a lender be. And he turns and he walks off.
Wow.
And I said,
we are now.
Wow, we're doing that bit now. So thank
That's
you,
funny.
Louisa, for mentioning that. Thank you to whoever those people were in the 70s who did that earlier version of Hamlet. A little bit of your show made it into our show, and the rest is history.
We should drink a toast.
Happy 30th anniversary, everybody.
And I actually did, a toast came to me in the middle of the night last night.
Oh, sorry.
While I was worrying
while
about...
While you were Googling yourself?
No, I do that in the morning, really, in the morning.
I feel a toast coming on.
There's a toast coming on. Raise your glasses if you have them.
Raise your glasses
with us.
If you're at home, to 30 years of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. If we were doing our job right, we should have done it in 10.
Yes.
Cheers.
Yes.
Drink them if you got them.
There you go.
Cutie Pie says, may there be 30 more. Howard Sherman says, L'chaim. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you.
Congratulations, you guys. Pros. Listen, thank you guys for keeping us in business these last 30 years and for... standing by with us today.
Yes, and for caring.
And for caring. Yes, we hope to do 30 more, although as somebody pointed out earlier today, maybe not with the current cast.
Perhaps not.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. You'll be able to see the edited video of our entire webcast online once Jess Winfield has finished editing it. It may even be up there now as you're hearing this. Go to Vimeo or YouTube and search for Reduced Shakespeare. If you want to see clips of early RSC performances, you can find some at our YouTube channel, or just go into YouTube and search for Vintage Reduced Shakespeare. Send us your anniversary highlights via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, the Millard Fillmore of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Sarah Lindsay. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the Improvised Shakespeare Company. I'm looking forward to seeing them again now that I've moved back to Chicago. Follow them on Twitter @ImprovShakesCo to see whether they're performing near you, because you should absolutely see them if you can. Thanks again to Daniel, Jess, and Sa, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 246 738ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
So we're 1 hour in.
1 hour in.
Oh my God. Do we really need to keep talking for another hour?
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.